gentlemen, thank you for coming to tonight's Comic Book Club! And now, here are your hosts, Mila Faye, Justin Dahl, and Alex Galvin!
What's up, everybody?
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our medical group band. Have been all over the place.
Oh, so much traveling.
Pete was away. We've had two different booth men.
Yeah.
Really? Last time we saw a booth man.
Wow. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, we had one booth man.
Me.
In L.A., we had David Cope, who's our booth man in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
David Harpist.
Yeah, David Cope.
The harpist, as he's known.
Yes, the harpist. Yeah. And then we had no booth man at San Diego Comic-Con.
Who had an entire crew of technicians from Warner Brothers.
Yes.
So they did the same shit that you do, booth man, pretty much. Made fun of us the whole time.
And we also had no Pete the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Pete, what's new?
Hey, I just was in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
What Comic-Con was there?
Oh, man. It's called... Going back in time. Yeah.
It's called Sleeping on My Mom's Couch Con.
Yeah.
And no one has any fun.
I did get to see my comic book collection in its entirety.
Oh man. How big is it? How many comics do you have?
It's currently 43 long boxes.
Oh.
Are you serious?
When you paused there, I was like, 43 comics.
Yeah. Wow. Are they all graded yet? Or
there's a good portion of them that are.
That's for those of you who don't know what it is, when we go to conventions, the three of us, Pete brings a stack of comics that he gets valued and stuck in a bag in a hard case.
Yeah, that's right. An impenetrable case.
Sealed away so that they can be worth nothing in the future.
Nope. That way, if somebody wants to buy it, they know exactly what they're getting. Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Because, you know, some people sell things and they just say, good condition. And it's like, what
is it?
That's
bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, someday when you're in your home and that stack falls on you and kills you, then we'll know what condition.
That's a good way to go.
Yeah. Is it nice to know the way you're going to die? Yeah. Is that a
good... I just want to say I have read them and I have other copies that I make sure I grade the ones that are...
That only makes it sadder.
Pete LePage, killed by Rom the Space Knight.
Yeah.
So, real quick, should we just show hands who's seen Spider-Man?
Sure.
Yep. Oh.
Literally.
Really? Do you know?
Everybody here but Justin.
Kill him.
Do you know that we host a comic book show that we talk about?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Let's review the movie later.
Yeah, just to clarify, he hasn't seen the Sam Raimi Spider-Man.
Yeah. I haven't seen the actual Spider-Man. No,
you've never seen
Spider-Man. I've never seen him. What, you guys all have?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's always swinging around, quipping.
Quippin'
and flippin'. That's really hard to say.
I live in Brooklyn, so he doesn't get out there.
Okay. Oh, it's too bad.
Yeah, he just sort of...
The buildings are short.
Shoots his web and just sort of drags himself along on his butt.
Yeah.
Oh. What?
Is that what happened in the movie? Or would that have been more
interesting?
Spoiler, yeah.
Yeah. Guys, we have a very exciting show for you tonight.
Yeah.
Our guest is the co-host of Matt and Brett Love Comics and also Left Handed Radio, ladies and gentlemen, Matt Little!
Yeah!
All right. Matt, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm nervous to be putting a beer this close to an iPad.
Oh, it's fine.
Do it. Yeah.
If it makes you feel better, I drop-kicked his iPad.
I wonder, was there a reason behind it, or you were just like, technology, foo!
We'll talk about it later.
He didn't like the end of Walking Dead.
We'll talk about it.
Zalbin didn't like the Dirty Laundry trailer, which is bullshit.
What?
Let's talk. Boothman has a thirst for blood. He is your Damian Wayne. He will.
Nice reference.
Yeah. Batman and Robin 11 this week. You're going to wake up with a crowbar in your bed.
Wait, which one of you is my dad?
All of
we
us.
Can't
oh, Pete, hooray!
It's like
I don't
twins.
Know. Which one do you think, looking at the three of them?
All three of them mix their sperm together and impregnate a woman, and so no one knows.
Man, that is a spicy batch of sperm. That is a spicy batch of sperm.
Yeah, don't worry about it, though. Somewhere you have a much shorter,
that's
fatter
a spicy
twin.
Sperm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the Arnold Schwarzenegger in this situation. Boothman, did you know that?
What?
You're the Arnold Schwarzenegger in this twin
which
situation.
Which movie?
Twins.
Kill him! You don't know your twins continuity?
No, I know. There's going to be a sequel. Did you guys know that?
Shut up.
Yeah, we
and
do know.
There's going to be a third twin.
That's a triplet.
No, it's still going to be called twins.
It's called triplets. They're calling the movie triplets, and it's going to be Eddie Murphy as the third one.
Yeah.
Great. All those great actors. actors together. Eddie Murphy, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and the ugly one.
Don't you say anything bad about Danny DeVito.
Don't like him.
What?
So I like Taxi.
You don't like comedy.
I like Taxi, Danny DeVito. And right, I like and I like picturing Danny DeVito fucking Rhea Perlman.
Hey, let's talk to our guest.
What? You like pictures of Danny DeVito fucking Rhea Perlman?
Yeah. Ron Perlman.
Wait, Ron Perlman.
Both of them. Threesome.
That's called a Photoshop.
Yeah, I know.
Pearl sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
Perlman. Never mind.
Ooh. Matt, chat about Matt and Brett. Read comics.
Matt and Brett love comics. So that is no, that's okay.
It's an hour of silence.
yeah. It's just
that's
us
a great
quietly contemplating
podcast.
Every once in a while. Yep. You just hear rustling of pages.
Yeah. I've been enjoying the one where they love comics, and the reading one I've sort of been just paging through, just listening. To
yeah,
I got to be honest. Matt and Brett look at comics. Bad podcast.
Yeah. Because no it's just quiet. Like we don't even say anything. We just look at things. No, but Matt and Brett love comics. My friend Brett White and I. We co-host a podcast where we cover story arcs.
He's in the audience.
He is in the audience.
Yeah,
Brett White.
Yeah, White.
Yeah. We cover story arcs of comic books. We will pick someone who is a comedian friend of ours who may not have experience with comic books to get a fresh set of eyes.
Some sort of loser.
Yeah. Yeah. Some
who
type
doesn't
of real
have experience
nerd.
With comic books at this point? I mean,
right? That's true. People have tangential like movie experience. So we pull them in and we have them read like a story arc that we've picked, and then we discuss it in like a roundtable format. You know, sort of like a book club, like a comic book club.
Interesting.
That's
kill him. Kill him.
That's a fantastic idea for a show.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it's a lot of fun. We have fun chatting with our friends about.
What's something recently that you've recapped? What's a good story arc that you had?
So our most recent episode, we covered because it's a Spider-Man season right now. Spider-Man week in
Spider-Man
New York City. Spider-Man season.
Spider-Man. I'm hunting Spider-Man.
Yeah. You can tell by all the spiders hanging from the trees at night. We covered the four of the origin stories of Spider-Man. So we covered Amazing Fantasy 15, and then Spider-Man Chapter 1, Number 1. Ugh. Yeah. Then we covered Ultimate Spider-Man Number 1, and then Miles Morales Ultimate Comics Spider-Man Number 1.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Is there any sort of pattern there? Is there any... I mean, obviously, there's a connection between them, but
is there
any sort of repeating themes that you see people?
Yeah, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Power and responsibility. What's interesting is it was strange because we talked about this on the podcast. It felt like when John Byrne did Spider-Man Chapter 1 in 1998, it was like they clearly wanted to rejuvenate the franchise. But it's
always
like
always go to Byrne when you want a new franchise like that.
But at that point, it was like asking your dad to go to like a dubstep concert with you. Yeah. Like, Dad, tell me about dubstep.
Like really cool because you love your dad a lot.
Yeah. Exactly.
Cool. Whoa. Tough angle.
but it just felt he sort of felt out of touch. In that story, I wasn't a big fan of Chapter One.
John Byrne, I feel like, was out of touch when he was like 16.
Come on.
Okay, sorry. That's real Byrne crowd. I don't want to burn.
He's out of touch.
No, I think.
Can I mention actually about the power responsibility thing? Because we talked about Amazing Spider-Man on the last podcast a little bit.
We did?
But yes, sorry, Pete.
You
weren't. But the one thing that we didn't talk about, and you wouldn't know this, Justin, because you didn't see the movie, but Uncle Ben's power responsibility speech in that movie was so convoluted.
Yeah.
They were trying so. How can you can't do better than with great power comes great responsibility. And he was like. If you're really a powerful guy,
it was like Jay Leno. Hand the thing. You got the power.
The thing about power is
feel about it. Something I don't know. Some sort of thing that would make you feel other things.
Yeah.
Go, Peter.
That feels like the type of thing that a marketing executive was like, okay, we got our hands on the franchise, guys. We really got to put our stamp on it.
Yeah.
This, rewrite it.
Yeah.
I want this to be my legacy.
More pronouns.
More pronouns.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, guys. I think we're going to move on with the next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
All right.
Golf clap. Golf.
There we go. All right, guys. Get the stack. First one is a bat title.
Get it going to bat for Batman.
Batman number 11 from DC Comics. Pete, you want to talk about this a little bit?
Yes. Scott Snyder continues to do an amazing job. With his last issue, I was a little nervous about where he was going with the whole brother maybe related thing.
If you don't know, in the last issue, it was revealed that Bruce Wayne had a brother named Thomas Wayne Jr., right. TJ.
Which there was some truth to that old TJ.
Yeah.
TJJ.
Yeah. So it still kind of remains a mystery, but I'm glad we didn't, you know, like kind of make any clear, like, definitely your brother, definitely not. But this Batman arc has just been amazing. Like, some of the best Batman maybe ever written of all time. Like, just unbelievable.
What do you think? You don't seem quite as certain.
Well, I've loved this series. It's been really good. It's very good. Relax. And the villains here have been this group called the Court of Owls, who are like sort of like owl versions of Batman. Yeah. I mean, they just wear owl costumes.
Basically. I mean, they're not detectives. They're just like,
I don't know. They
you
can solve
kill
a mystery.
I don't think they know.
Batman solves whodunits. They solve hootdunits.
Oh.
Hey now. Oh. Kill him. Kill him.
So the end of it, it's like, he's your brother. Or he's like, I'm your brother. And Batman is like, shit. And then he fights him and throws him in an airplane almost. And then at the end, there's this long conversation with Dick Grayson where Batman's like...
It's a fucking very touching conversation where he says things he hasn't said ever.
Where Bruce Wayne's like, don't worry, I've captured the Talons and they're in a secure holding facility on ice funded by Bruce Wayne, by Wayne Enterprises, of course.
Who else is going to fund it?
Yeah, well, just going to fund it? I don't know. I don't care too much about where they're getting the money to keep them cold.
One extra sentence in there.
Frigidaire.
Like, Fuck this.
Viking.
Don't tell me extra information I don't need to know.
Yeah.
Was that your problem? That was your only problem?
No, well, just in general, I feel like it ended on such a conversation. It was such a conversation.
Sure.
The buildup was so good. It was such a tense, thrilling, like 9 or 10 issues. And then the last issue, I was like, oh, I hope this is going to land. And then I feel like it was just like, talking around it, and then, oh, let's move on to the next thing.
Sure.
I can kind of see that. I think it was such a long story that to have a little bit of an epilogue there, I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
I do think
it made
last
sense.
Issue was way stronger than this issue.
I do agree
with that. But it was still a really solid issue, and I'm really looking forward to the next arc, where for the first time, Scott Snyder is writing the Joker.
Oh, man.
That's awesome.
The way he talks about it, which I think is pretty accurate, there hasn't really been a Joker versus Batman just one-on-one story in a really, really long time.
Yeah, like since the 90s.
Yeah, it's always Joker kind of shows up and is like, there's a big villain out there, watch out, and then disappears, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
But so this should be
It's dangerous to go alone. Take this.
And then disappears.
Wow, the voiceover work from you guys is just unbelievable.
Can I make you a sandwich before you go, Batman? Yeah,
yeah. You look hungry.
Did you check out the last episode of Breaking Bad? It was crazy. Come on to my place. We'll hang out.
Yeah.
What is this Joker?
I don't know. It's like an old Jewish Joker from like the...
You're just saying that because I'm old.
I put
Jewish.
The kills in.
Sorry, your voice work isn't really creating the character.
I put the kills in cat skills.
Oh my God.
Full of puns.
Cat skills him.
Cat skills him.
Ah, that's good. All right, let's move on with your pick. This also would have been my pick if we didn't go over to you. This was, I think, probably the biggest issue of the year.
Yeah.
Walking Dead number 100.
Number 100.
This is just
Did you guys
before
read
we get
this?
Into it.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, man.
All right.
You guys, this is the biggest selling issue of the year so far.
This is an amazing accomplishment.
This is the craziest fact I've heard recently. This is the biggest selling issue, in the first printing at least, since 1997. Can you guys guess, if you didn't read the news, what the biggest selling issue before that was?
I know the answer.
Okay, do you guys know the answer?
Image swimsuit issue.
Image swimsuit. You're actually pretty close. Pete, do you have a guess?
I was going to say Spawn number 100.
Yeah. Darkness number 11.
What? Yeah, but it did it with 11 covers. Like, it had 11 covers.
Yeah. And that was basically like, well, the 90s are dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this one sold almost 400,000 copies. That's just in the first printing. So obviously huge issue. What'd you think about it?
I thought it was really good. It was a really strange issue. There's a villain that you see him for the first time in this issue, and he's basically Robert Kirkman. He says... Yeah. He shows up and he's like...
He doesn't look anything like Robert Kirkman.
No, he's the author, I guess I should say. He's like
what?
A very
He doesn't say he's writing a story and we're all in it.
Oh, maybe there's a little bit of metaphor.
Okay, good. All right.
He didn't say, I'm Robert Kirkman. Welcome to my comic
He was
book.
Like, hey guys, I've been writing this story. You're all living it.
Yeah.
I've also made a TV show.
TV show and the car I'm promoting, the Hyundai.
Yeah.
Hyundai.
Hyundai. So anyway, this character is like, he captures all of our favorite characters and says, which one should I kill? Can't kill you. There'll be a big racial backlash if I kill you. Can't kill you because of this. He honestly, this character says it. It's very meta.
Yeah.
And somehow it worked, though. I actually didn't
hate it. Why did you think of Kirkman while this was going on?
Because it's a meta
Absolutely. Okay. All right. Can we talk about the very beginning of the issue? So end of last issue, number 99, right. Big cliffhanger. There's this group outside of our main group who is evil, extorting everybody
clearly
in the area.
Clearly evil. They have, like, chains in their hands.
Yeah, they're
chains in their hands. Very
they're hanging out of
chains and leather. Yeah. Chain, that's
evil.
How you know.
Always yeah. been evil since the 50s.
Big mustaches, and they're going,
Yeah, they're laughing like an old Jewish comedian. From the, big sign of evil.
Yep, tied everybody to the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
So they're hanging out on a rooftop. The cliffhanger of last issue is main guys leave the compound. They watch them leave. It cuts to the bad guys. The bad guys say, we're going to invade at dawn.
We attack at dawn.
We attack at dawn.
And it was like, oh, that's scary.
That's awesome.
That's scary.
And then the beginning of issue 100 is somebody being like, why are we going to wait a full day to attack him?
And they just totally make fun of the end of the last issue.
Yeah, and that right up front. I think that's actually the reason why I was okay with the rest of the meta text is because the entire thing was just completely commenting on itself the entire time. You read this issue. What did you think about it?
I did. I'll tell you what. I think more people read it then clapped because the other people that read it were just like too exhausted from reading it to clap because my God, he is just it is unrelenting how vicious and I love a good horror story. And this book, you know, the cynic in me keeps saying like, oh, this will be the one that I'm going to be like, but every time we hit a high point like this, and I am clawing the back of the pages.
Yeah. That just says so much about Kirkman as a writer to be able to do this for so long.
Yeah. I haven't been this white knuckle every time I read a book since Preacher.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cause that is probably my favorite book ever. And it just,
I think your blood flow to your extremities is in some serious trouble.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, yeah. I've actually had to go to the doctors for that. I almost had my foot amputated.
But me and Zelvin were talking beforehand. Like, when I close my eyes, sometimes I have a flashback to those panels. Like, it is so upsetting and so vivid.
You need to go do other things.
I'm like, oh God, I can't get out of my head.
You have PTWDD, post traumatic walking dead disorder.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for spelling that out. I didn't know what you meant.
Yeah.
But like,
you need to get some medicine.
Yeah. But man, alive, it was so fucked up.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, one of the main characters that everyone loves gets really beat up.
Brutally.
Yeah. Beats to
death. Like, to death.
Yeah.
Definitely to death.
No, definitely to death.
Like,
well, unless their head can grow back.
That'd be a big twist.
Yeah.
That'd be a big twist.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a fake head.
Could happen. Yeah, he had a fake head just in case.
And he's going to be like,
that's such a smart idea, though.
Having a fake head?
Fake head, yeah.
Half the time I'm walking around New York, I have a fake head on.
Oh, that's smart. That's smart.
You keep it in your shirt? You don't know what you're going to do during the day?
I'm traveling. I'm underneath my shirt reading comics, and my fake head's just like looking around.
I wish I would have thought of that in school.
You're like several children in a trench coat trying to pretend to be an adult.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yep. I know. I'd show you, but the kids are really fond of living this life.
what just happened?
One of the kids panicked in here and was like, don't stop talking about this.
But I was pretty upset after reading this.
Because a main character died.
Yeah, and the fact that people stood by and nothing...
Well, so brutally, felt you feel as helpless as characters in the book as it happens, because he just like Negan, is it Negan or Negan? What do you guys think?
His name is Robert Kirkman.
Robert Kirkman. So Bobby Kirk
pronounced Robert.
So Bobby Kirk's rolls up with his leather jacket and his ball bat, and he just like they just slowly turn the screws on these characters so hard and just explain how no one. It's like, look, I'm going to tell you all how you can do nothing while I'm about to murder one of you, and then that is exactly
what
happens.
Try to do nothing, not even try to like
because the situation. I bought it. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but the situation that they end up in, they're down on the ground. Everybody else has weapons. They have no weapons.
But
and there's like 80 guys there.
What are you going to do in that situation?
Well, I'm just saying.
You're like, yo, where are you, one-handed man?
No, but think about it. All right, let's say we're all tied up, right? And they pick you to start beating your head in, which for me would be awesome. But the fact that none of these guys even tried to stop him or be like, come on, or nothing, Wouldn't that bother you?
Well, I'd have a lot of
that
mind.
Not for long. Yeah.
It, it was Zalbin would stand up and say, come on, guys, it's time to beat LePage.
Yeah, nice. I would, while I was getting beaten, my last words would be like, really, guys?
Yeah.
We've been doing this show for so long. Not even you, Matt?
I would say, hey, could you wait a second? I just want to grab the recorder so we can do this as a podcast. Oh, the lights went out.
Sorry. Boothman, you don't know?
You have no
idea?
Right.
It's because it's time for the intimate sexual.
I was like,
oh.
Yeah. I was looking at porn. I don't know. What's up?
Oh, the lights went off.
There's
the
been
lights
a, went off. Oh,
that's
change.
Cool. Oh, you were,
right.
you were reading cool. Witch
well,
of the
no
Black
need
Rose.
To fix it. Let's keep going with the podcast. Let's talk about the next pick and see if you can fix the lights, I guess. Uncanny X-Force. It's really nice to be back here. Uncanny X-Force number 27 was my pick. From Marvel Comics, yes, I see all of you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Uncanny X-Force, wow.
Yeah, Uncanny X-Force. Well, you stole mine.
Have you heard of it?
Walking Dead really was the issue of the week, but Uncanny X-Force has been great. They're currently in this final execution arc, and it's the last arc of Rick Remender's run. Basically, he's taking every villain that he's stuck throughout the book and having them go up against Uncanny X-Force, who are the sharpest members of the X-Men, and just ripping through them. This issue, major character dies. Probably actually permanently, they've said, you know,
really?
As permanent as comics. Yeah,
oh,
they
that,
said that
oh,
he's
I didn't know
dead.
That. Oh,
yeah.
God damn.
I love
I mean, he can come
character.
Back, but
we
he
can
or
so.
She, I mean.
Yeah.
Oh.
But yeah, great art, great story. Love what's going on in that book. What do you guys think about it?
Pete, there was a certain amount of death in this issue. You must have loved it.
Oh, yeah. It was very exciting. Remender's doing an amazing job with this series. But, man, what a last panel to end on. I mean, that was so powerful and so, like...
Tell us.
Kind of fucked up, where it's all the bad guys in one room, and then, you know, Kid Apocalypse, and it's like, hey, man, really the bad guys is where it's at.
Evan. Evan. His name's Evan. He's got good in him, damn it.
Whoa.
Oh, you're right. Really pulling for him.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who thinks it's Evan and not Kid Apocalypse? That's right.
No, his name is the baby jerk, baby asshole.
Baby asshole.
I love. I actually like that character a lot. I hope
is that really a song?
I hope they keep him like that.
Yeah, I think so. I like him sort of going back and back and forth.
Well, no,
hero
if
and villain.
You saw the last panel, he's a bad guy now.
No,
he's hanging
just,
out with the bad guys.
No, just because
not.
You hang out with villains doesn't mean you're a villain.
No, that's exactly what it means.
Just because you hang out with the New York Giants doesn't mean that you're a New York Giant.
That's a lie.
What?
Oh.
Just because you hang out with a guy who wears a suit jacket and shorts doesn't mean you're. I don't know. What do you call yourself?
Spider-Man.
It's hot out.
Cool. Cool.
All right, guys. I think we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Boothman.
Boothman! Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Yay, Boothman.
What's up?
Nothing.
Hey. Not much. Chilling.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Me too. We're trying to figure out what's going on with these lights.
Yeah, that's okay.
But while we do that.
Oh. And I should just mention in advance, Matt, please pay attention to these questions. Whichever is your favorite question is going to get a special prize.
What is the special prize?
I'll tell
it's
you
a
later.
Surprise prize.
It's a surprise.
Can you give us a hint?
Surprise.
No. All right,
first,
no.
How do surprises work?
I don't know. I like to know a little bit about the surprise.
All right. He's been burned before.
That's the opposite of how surprises work.
For your last surprise birthday party, you're like, listen, you're going to have a birthday party. Here's the time and place, and here's who's going to be there. Surprise!
Totally didn't know it was coming.
All right, let's get the first question.
If you were the king of San Diego, how would you change San Diego Comic-Con for the better?
The king of San Diego is Jim Lee, of course.
We all know that. We all know that.
How would you make San Diego Comic-Con better? I would like more, like, just human bodies. Just more of a human presence.
There.
I feel like there's not enough focus on touching at San Diego Comic-Con.
There's also, just not enough stacks of people. Like,
yeah,
they have people walking along, but there's no piles stretching all. There's the whole ceiling space.
Yep, I know. We haven't really got to the rafters.
Guys, have you gone to PileCon yet? Or?
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I couldn't
really
get good. In.
Yeah. It's hard to find the door.
Yeah.
I also think the biggest thing I saw this year that I could do without is, like, nerdy guys asking to take pictures of girls with giant breasts.
Duh.
Like, why?
Why is that a bad thing? That's the only time they get to see them.
Well, no. I don't think there's a problem with that. But there's a certain decorum, I think, that a lot of nerdy guys don't adhere to when they do that, which is, you know, the sort of...
Oh, like, you're talking about the creepy factor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What's creepier, though? I mean, you know, if you have somebody walking around in a Star Sapphire costume, they want to have pictures taken with them.
Right.
So I'm going to get past that for a little bit. I have a bigger problem with the guys who, as the girls are facing the other way, are holding their iPhones real low as they walk by just scanning pictures.
Yeah.
That's a bigger problem. Or video, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever your flavor is, I guess.
Yeah. I prefer video.
Yeah, totally. Cool. That's a good choice.
Well, no.
No, that's fine. You should check out my collection.
I would say if I was going to change anything, free hot dogs. Everybody gets a free hot dog.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow, real man of the people. Real.
The people's
real
champion.
Whippy
vote for me.
Popeye.
King of San Diego. Vote for me.
That's ridiculous.
Well, that's all it takes is free fucking hot dogs. Yeah, yeah. And everyone goes wild. Crazy.
Yeah,
in a more serious thing, I don't know. It's actually pretty well run. The Artist Alley this year was minuscule. It was so tiny and like so far away from anything. I feel like no one really went over there. So that was probably frustrating.
It was actually bigger this year.
I know, but it was still like...
Yeah, it was still tiny, but
it's honestly like 1/30th of the floor.
I don't know. I think... There's got to be something done with the con floor. One thing that I really like about what Reed does with New York Comic Con and with C2E2, really wide aisles that even when it gets crazy packed, you could still kind of walk. Here they had, I think the biggest clusterfuck was the Walking Dead booth, which was a photo op where you could go in and pretend to be one of Michonne's slave zombies.
I thought you were going to say one of her swords, kind of motioning to your back.
Sort of popping out of her back. Was right across from three gigantic cave trolls from The Hobbit in an aisle that was about 5 feet wide.
Wow.
There was no way of getting through there. It was ridiculous.
We've reached a new level of nerd.
They were aisle trolls.
The con doesn't have wide enough aisles. And I don't think I'll be attending anymore. They don't widen the aisles.
I think it would make it more walkable and it'd make it more fun because it's not fun to be on the con floor. It's not fun to walk around because you can't get anywhere.
It turns it into like a Brooklyn supermarket. Where you're like, boy, these aisles are great, but I wish I could actually push a shopping cart through them.
Right.
I guess I'll just put it at the end of the aisle and throw all my stuff.
Shopping carts.
Yeah.
If they had shopping carts.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be perfect at San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah, and one
more
to ride.
Locally sourced foods, I think, would be better as well. More locally sourced foods.
No, we went to an organic market. We didn't go to San Diego Comic Con.
Oh, shit. No wonder I didn't get it.
Yeah, those cave trolls were just some hairy guys.
Yeah. They were nice. Nice dudes.
They
loved
nice.
Pictures taken.
They had no problem with me taking pictures of their asses.
Yeah,
Michonne was just a woman who was really confused and just wanted to sell some kale. But you guys were like, no, one more picture.
Yeah. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics, yes?
Yep.
Let's get the next question.
All right, next question. In what order should I introduce Batman to my nephew, the animated series, Adam West, Tim Burton, Nolan, Schumacher?
I was going to say start with his head, work down to his chest.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And with the boots.
Yes.
That's a great question. I would say Batman the Animated Series would be. That's how I was sort of... Well, I guess I watched the Adam West show first. But Batman the Animated Series is so good. I saw... not to keep talking about San Diego, but I saw a podcast interview with Kevin Smith interviewing Bruce Timm. It was awesome.
Wow.
It was very cool, him just talking about the evolution of the show and how they had sort of the darker tone to it and still kept it really fun and really
good.
Well,
and I think it's such a great connective fiber between the Keaton, Burton, Batman movies and the Dark Knight movies that it fits in nicely with both of those, fits in nicely with the comic books as well. I think that's – I'd agree with that choice.
It sets a really great tone.
That was the right answer.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Hey, Lutz, you're back.
You can tell, guys listening on the podcast, the lights just went on.
Get cool.
The lights weren't like off, all right? Give us some credit.
No, we were sitting in the dark here. The things that I was doing. Carry on.
I think your trench coat's open and all these children are running around the stage now.
Get back in here.
Oh, this is embarrassing.
Where's your kid wrangler?
I know. Get your fake head in place.
Yeah, I think really great question. I think that I think the animated series is a really great entry point because it sets a great tone and also doesn't get too dark. Depending on how old is your nephew?
40.
Too young.
Not born. What is? Don't say it like that.
Yeah, well,
then here's the thing. Just introduce
too young.
Four.
Oh,
that, four. I mean, that's a good time to introduce him to a life of crime fighting. Maybe just push
I'll tell you what. If
push
he's
him
four,
into a cave full of bats.
If he's four, Batman Brave and the Bold.
Yeah,
I think is
choice.
Probably the best way to go because that show was straight up action, but like well written and funny.
Yeah.
But took the action seriously and didn't.
Yeah.
You know, treat it too much like this is. Hey, kids, go out and try this.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you just wave a plush toy at him then? I don't know. That would be good.
Yeah, my daughter's 2.5. We started reading Arkham Asylum.
She's really been enjoying that. Well, she's sort of gothy as it is, though, right? She's a real dark.
Yeah, real, real dark. Real intense.
I know.
Yeah,
she wears socks over her playground. Yeah. Sleeveless
yeah.
socks.
Yeah, she's got, what, 2 or 3 tattoos.
Yeah, she has a teddy bear backpack and goes raving every day.
Wow.
You gotta rein her in. She's out of control. Yeah. I ran into her at a party, dude. Yeah.
Alex, she uses that pacifier for pacifying and for drugs.
Yeah. Alex, I don't mean to derail this amazing conversation, but to get back, I would say the animated series, Keaton, just Michael Keaton.
Start with Multiplicity.
Yeah, be like, start with Mr. Mom. No, not Multiplicity.
Yeah, definitely start with Mr. Mom. This nephew will get the themes, the mature themes of being a man raising a child in the late 80s. Then hit Nolan hard.
Yeah. Right. After that, if you want to just edit out his scenes from the other guys, that would be probably pretty good.
Yep.
Not the rest of the other
just
guys.
Don't go chase
cut.
The waterfall.
Just get a super, and then TLC? Is that?
No, that's a reference to the other guys.
Oh, sorry.
But they could watch Waterfalls if they want. It's a
great
video.
Great message there. Don't go chasing waterfalls. Stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. Cool.
Alternately, you could just crouch in your nephew's room every night with a Batman mask on while the lights are out and wait for him to wake up so that he understands what Batman is.
Yeah. Don't commit crime.
The opinions of Comic Book Club in relation to child rearing should not be taken to heart. Podcast listeners, especially.
There you go.
With children.
All right, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Get the next question.
Which comic book character would win in an eating contest?
Oh, good.
Batman wins everything.
Batman. Interesting.
I created myself a false stomach.
A message board just lit a flame because that's a fight now. No, Batman would win. He would have an external stomach designed by
Maytag. The Bat-Cow. They just introduced Bat-Cow. Bat-Cow has a bunch of stomachs.
Four stomachs.
That would probably work out well.
That could work out. Jughead.
Great answer. Quantum and Woody sidekick.
We just got heckled.
Goat.
The correct answer.
Goat.
Yeah. Hades. I'm sorry. His name was Hades.
Yeah.
Any other Quantum and Woody guys? Just me.
Okay. Sorry. I get you though. Maggot from
That's from the X-Men.
X-Men. Yeah.
But it was the X-Men when they got weird.
So Joe Casey. Casey. Steven Seagal.
Maggot. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, had two mechanical maggots that were his stomach. Yeah. And would crawl out of his stomach, eat things, and then go back inside it. It really hurt. But it would give him energy.
And then Mag would be like, why am I here fighting for mutants and stuff?
And then Joe Madureira would be like, because I'm drawing you. And he'd be like, hey.
Well, Joe Madureira could get away with any. His art was so good. It was like, just draw whatever. And they were like, okay, here's 3 shitty X-Men for you to do. Because he came out with Cecilia Reyes, who was a doctor who hated being part of the X-Men. He just complained the whole time. Even though her powers were awesome.
Robert Kirkman was Negan. Cecilia Reyes was Joe Madureira.
Exactly.
Yeah. And who was the other one? Marrow, right?
Marrow, yes. Yeah.
Marrow, who had bones, and then she could throw her bones
at
people.
And she was angry. It was the two. They were so miserable the whole time. And then Maggot was just like, should I shoot my maggots out now, or what's the deal? Is it time for me to just shoot these out? So that was a weird time for the X-Men.
Yeah. What was the question?
Who would eat the most food in an eating contest?
Yeah, I originally said the Blob.
I thought the question was who was Maggot? Yeah. That
was an ancillary question, slightly tangential, that I asked of myself.
Well, if this were Jeopardy, I suppose that would be the answer.
There we go. Yeah. Jeopardy rules.
There was a Superman issue a long time ago where he couldn't stop eating hamburgers.
That's right.
Yeah, so that would be.
And there was a Hulk Thing crossover called The Big Change where they had
Bernie Wrightson.
What?
Bernie Wrightson.
Yeah, where they had a hamburger eating contest as well. Oh, what did you just do?
What happened?
I nodded too hard and I knocked my teeth off of the microphone.
Which always happens when you have a microphone, right, guys?
Yeah. That's one of those stage moments you can only get at Comic Book Club. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Yeah. Let's get the next question.
Are you hungry, sir? Is that why?
All right. Yeah. What is your dream cast for Guardians of the Galaxy? Benicio del Toro as Rocket Raccoon?
Nice.
With no makeup.
Yeah, just very light makeup.
No, just Benicio del Toro. Yeah.
I'm sure all of you guys have heard this, but Marvel had a ton of crazy big announcements over the weekend at San Diego Comic-Con. One of them was officially Guardians of the Galaxy is coming to movie theaters. The lineup is Drax, Rock Raccoon, Groot, Star-Lord, and Gamora.
Yeah.
So any thoughts on casting there other than Benicio Del Toro?
Don't they all pretty much have to be CG characters?
Pretty much.
I guess you can put Star-Lord in a mask, but there's still no faces.
Dude, I would be amazing if Groot was a real tree. The whole time.
Move the tree. You got to keep moving the tree.
Move the tree. Moving the tree.
Just cut to some footage that they shot in Prospect Park.
Stock footage of trees.
Stock footage of Ents.
Yeah. That would be amazing. Oh,
yeah, good. Great crossover. Yeah. Really get all those 80-year-old Lord of the Rings fans who love the books. I think, I don't know.
80-year-old?
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
People, this is a weird, maybe a weird thing with me, but when I was growing up, my earth science teacher was the first person.
I already hate this story.
It was the first person to be like, he was the first person to be like, yeah, this book, Lord of the Rings, this series of books, Lord of the Rings, you got to read them. And he was like, the Ents are crazy.
What kind of relationship did you have with your teacher where you were like?
I was a nerd, so I talked to them like after class about stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. What did you? What were you doing?
I went to class, and then I waited for the bell to ring, and then I ran out.
Well, you should have got a better education. Guardians of the yes, slam.
One thing I will say about the CGI thing, Drax, particularly, I was like, you got to get somebody like a wrestler, right? Because he's so huge. The concept art that they released, he looks a little more like a regular guy, just green.
Oh, great. So, yeah, perfect.
Awesome.
And they should make Groot look just less like a tree and more like a guy. And Rocket Raccoon should be like more of a human than a raccoon.
Right, and Gamora should be more of a dude.
Yeah, just more of a guy.
I would say because the DNA run of Guardians of the Galaxy is my favorite books of the last couple of years. I loved it so much. All that stuff with the Magus. Oh, my God. Joshua Jackson as Peter Quill.
Oh, nice.
Gamora has to be a strong. Gamora has to be like a strong, independent woman. Someone is trying. Yeah, okay, Beyonce.
You have a
Beyonce as Gamora. I like Benicio.
Wow, that comment just describes how much we understand women on this panel.
Yeah.
You need a strong, independent woman.
Yeah.
And that's the only way we're going to get it done. Lady.
I think I like Benicio Del Toro as Rocket Raccoon. For Groot, I think Ron Perlman. Voice of Ron Perlman just growling, I am Groot, all the time, I think would be great. Bug. I think Bug's part of the cast, right?
Is it?
Not in the concept art.
Not in the concept art? No. Who else?
It was just a five. Drax.
Drax, I'd go, because Drax is like sort of a silent killer type. He doesn't have to say much, and he delivers his lines flat. I think Vin Diesel would be all right as Drax. Yeah.
Or another ball guy you get, Patrick Stewart.
Yeah. That'd be great. That's a bad idea.
So, Patrick, if you're listening, go to the gym this weekend. Yeah,
you know what? It should just be all of them should be Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
The entire cast. Yeah. Yeah, that should be his nutty professor.
Gamora. Ian McKellen is a strong, independent woman, so it works out.
In the Royal Shakespeare Company, they always tell the actors, what is going to be your professor?
Mighty.
Where? Mighty Mouse. What is going to be your Mighty Mouse?
You have to search deep inside for your flubber.
Yeah. your clumps?
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Do we have any more questions? We do. All right. Rest of the questions. Lightning round. First answer is always correct. Let's do it.
Was Spider-Man's clone saga worthwhile?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah?
It spawned so many interesting takes on it over the years. I feel like at the time it maybe wasn't a great storyline. But
That's your definition because they've made fun of it more over the years.
They haven't made fun of it. A lot of books have used it to.
I actually
love the Scarlet Spider's a great book.
Yeah. The stuff that they've been doing, I feel like Steve Wachter, who edits the Spider-Man books, basically decided, all right, you know what, everybody hates the clone saga. We're going to kind of say, screw you guys and redeem the stuff. And I feel like over the past couple of years, they've done a really good job of taking those plot points and actually making them work.
Hell yeah.
Really fantastic stuff, turning Kane into like a full-fledged character. And I'm a guy who will argue that the first half of the Clone Saga was good. I loved it.
Wow.
I thought it was solid. There were a lot of really great character moments in there, but marketing just got out of hand with it, and they drug it out too long. And I agree with you, though. I think Wacker and all of those guys are doing fantastic work kind of cleaning up the mess that it was. Kane's a full-fledged hero
now.
In Dallas. Yeah, he's a dude.
He's a dude now.
Yeah, it's great. We like dudes.
I love dudes.
Really?
Cool. Next question.
Last one. This is more trivia for you guys.
Okay. Ooh. I love this.
So, all right.
False.
Gonna get stumped.
Man, it's
slow down there, schoolboy. Wait a second.
It's not a true false question.
You're gonna run out of here at 8:05.
Hell yeah.
Back during the 80s, there was an assistant editor's week who did blah blah blah. Yeah, there was an assistant editor's week. Who did Galactus choose as his herald during this run?
Oh shit. Do you know the answer?
Yes.
Okay.
It was Aunt May.
Yay! Oh.
It was Aunt May. What it was was that was a what if issue, right?
Yeah, didn't she bring him fruit pies? Am I imagining that?
She would have she would have brought him
yes.
Was it fruit pies? Not buckwheat cakes?
No, I think it was just keeping the joke going at the end. I remember her bringing fruit pies.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I love that.
When are we going to bring that back?
Fruit pies?
Huh? No, the Aunt May is Galactus' herald. Maybe that'll be in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Probably.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
Got to get Galactus Cloud
Sissy
and Aunt May
Spacek
in there.
Would be an amazing herald of Galactus.
Aunt May Cloud was actually in Rise of the Silver Surfer. It was a smaller cloud right beside the Galactus Cloud.
Yeah. It was like, go to bed early. Get a good night's sleep.
That's an amazing Aunt May impression.
All right. Guys, before we finish up with the audience questions, Matt, what was your favorite question that was asked?
Oh, man. My favorite question. I love that Guardians of the Galaxy question. Really fun. Really fantastic. However, I think I have to go with the Batman question. Really great.
Nice.
Really well thought out. And yeah, I felt like we really delivered some solid life advice right there.
We just made a good
That's what the show's all about.
Yeah, there we go.
Helping people.
So I'm glad it was a Batman question. You know, who asked the Batman question? It was you over there. So you, this is actually just said to me, this is a, here, you want to open it
up? It's a surprise is what it is.
This is.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's not bad, right? That's upside down.
Upside down, guy.
Upside down. But it's a Bane sort of like graffiti poster for Dark Knight Rises and Mountain Dew in the corner. But there you go. It's actually
The Batman and Bane's eyes. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And if you love Mountain Dew, it's just
that's a badass surprise gift.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Are you mad at me that I didn't give it to you?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Here's the rubber band, too. Extra
there
credit.
You go. All right, that's it for your audience questions.
Great questions, you
guys. We're going to move on with the next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Oh, so many things.
Hooray. So there are a bunch of things to talk about. First, we talked about a lot, but just to put in some highlights of the Comic-Con happened this weekend.
Oh, man, what a ride that was.
No, don't worry. The second thing is Mom's Couch Con.
Yeah.
Well, we were there. We were at San Diego Comic-Con checking out a lot of stuff, covering a lot of stuff. But you guys, were you home checking out the stuff about San Diego Comic-Con?
Yeah. Just constantly
refreshing.
What a douchey question.
Yeah, what a nasty.
How sad was
were you home doing something stupid?
Yeah. Did you keep updated on how awesome our weekend was, Matt?
Because we sent you guys a lot of emails.
Having the best time ever, dudes.
What do you think was good about what was good about San Diego Comic Con, guys?
Why don't you tell us?
Well, Justin, what about you? What were some highlights?
Oh, I have a good one that actually involves you in one second. Weird. I interviewed Anthony Bourdain, which was sort of cool.
Awesome.
He was there.
The Anthony Bourdain?
Just Anthony Bourdain from Kansas. Great kid. A little overweight, but he's working on it.
Dressed like Phantom X.
Yeah, it was a really weird costume, but he was sweaty. No, the actual Anthony Bourdain, he is doing a comic for DC, a graphic novel called Get Giro. Yep. Depending on how you say your J's. And
like the food Euro?
No.
Nope.
The name of the chef is Giro. Oh. Anyway, and he was so into it. I interviewed him and all the team on that, and then the next day saw him in the far away part of the con buying random T-shirts from people and stuff. Like, he's through the looking glass.
That's awesome. He has no reservations about being a geek.
Nailed it.
Come on.
So that was cool. I interviewed Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez, the team behind Lock and Key, one of our favorite books.
That's amazing. You said you liked horror. That's a
great book if you don't read it.
Yeah, I haven't yet.
What the fuck?
So good.
Sorry.
So good.
Wait, you host a podcast show and you're talking about comics, but you haven't read Lock and Key?
You can't read all the comics, Pete. Give him a break.
It's one of the great.
All right.
So we were talking when I was interviewing them. We were talking because there's a character named Dr. Zalbin.
Yeah. So unrealistic.
Very unrealistic.
You would be a doctor.
Yep. And it looks it. drawn. That's an insult to you.
I don't.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Drawn to look like Alex Albin. So
it looks just like him.
Yep. So they mentioned that in the upcoming arc, Omega, which is the last arc of the series, in the first issue, there's going to be a character that looks a lot like Pete LePage.
Oh, nice.
So sales are going to go down.
Yeah.
And then do you have one as well?
And then they said that they were going to hopefully have me murdered in issue 4.
Yeah. 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 Dreams could come true.
Kill him. Yeah. Wait. Kill him.
Murdered by Dr. Zalba.
Well. Have you been spreading them letters?
Yeah. Well, it's just what I'm trying to cure you of a cold.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
This Walking Dead scenario is actually going to happen. Yeah. Guys.
It will happen. But that's super exciting.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And what else? Oh, we did a show. We did a comic book club panel on the Warner Brothers stage. I think we said that. And but for us, the Fringe cast was on the stage being interviewed. And after us, Kevin Bacon and his band, the Bacon Brothers, played. So it was cool to be.
Did you get to talk to Kevin Bacon?
No.
No.
What would I say?
Hey, what's up?
I guess that's true. I could have done that.
That was cool. I was covering some stuff for AMC while I was there, and I was covering the Breaking Bad paddle, and I had to run backstage to go get the guy who was live tweeting the paddle. And
cool. So, end the story there.
So I get backstage, and immediately getting into the backstage area, the guy who plays Hank is sitting there in a barbarian costume, just like hanging out on a chair. So that was totally surreal. And then I see the guys live tweeting, and they're like, oh, he's taking some pictures over there some people. And I said, oh, okay, cool. I'll go chat with him. And I saw he's taking some pictures of some guys in meth suits. And I thought, oh, that's fun. They're going to have guys in meth suits come out and like be meth on the panel
suits.
Or something
oh,
like
you
that.
Mean like hazmat
the yellow
suits.
Meth suits. And I get there, and I'm standing next to him, and I say, hey, I saved you a seat. You want to come into the panel? And he says, yeah, sure. I just got to take a picture here. And standing like a foot away from me on the floor are Aaron Paul and Bryan Cranston frantically putting a tidy meth suit on a tidy baby doll. And I just stood there being like, oh, this is cool, for about a minute, and then went in and watched the panel. And
they were
awesome.
Like, please, sir, get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
But that was pretty great. It was a good time.
That's cool.
Yeah.
As far as other announcements?
Announcements, biggest, the thing that blew my mind, I think, was the Sandman announcement. Did you guys hear about this? So Neil, in case you didn't, Neil Gaiman is doing a who knows how many issue prequel miniseries to Sandman that he's already teased throughout it. It was actually a story that he always meant to tell, but it took place before Sandman, so...
Because if you remember Sandman 1, Sandman has been captured, and he's in his, like, fighting, his, like, war gear, and he's never told the story about what he was doing and how he got captured and all that.
Right.
So that the story wants to tell.
Yeah, so with, for the 25th anniversary, the art's by J.H. William III.
The
so
guy from Batwoman, who's amazing.
Now, incredibly excited about that.
Now, I heard what the story before it was that he got his... He put his war outfit on, and then immediately was captured.
Yeah. It's going to be one issue, and it's going to be
first issue is titled "How Do Pants Work?"
It's just
Sandman's going to be like,
"What do you think happened?" Yeah. Draw here.
He likes to really put in the hands of the fans.
The other one that hit me as a big announcement, I had no idea this was coming. I wasn't on it. I was watching the Before Watchmen panel. And who watches the Before Watchmen?
Oh, come on.
I know. I saw that joke happen in your head.
Yeah, it's like,
you finished the sentence, and then you were like, who watches the Before Watchmen panel?
So they're talking about it, kind of stayed, kind of, you know, interesting but intellectual panel. Quentin Tarantino jumps up in the middle of it and announces a Django Unchained miniseries that they're doing with DC, and then they had to get back into the Before Watchmen panel. That's so awesome. That was kind of nuts.
Yeah. Nothing like having Quentin Tarantino scream, everyone go crazy, and then turn it over to Len Wein, who's like, Ozymandias is...
That's pretty much exactly what happened. Yeah.
And the Django Unchained miniseries is actually the first draft of the screenplay, right? Like, it's a parallel interpretation of the story, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's going to give it away.
Like Superman IV, The Quest for Peace. Yeah. The comic book adaptation of that.
Oh, did it give away all the spoilers for Superman 4?
Yeah. My favorite part of Superman 4, the guy that plays the nuclear man in the movie, actor named Mark Pillow. His name is a command. Mark Pillow.
Why would you mark a pillow?
And so in the military, they rarely use that command. I was in the military.
Oh, okay. All right, let's move on to the next item. Pete, I bet you were pretty excited about this. This is another thing that was shown off at San Diego Comic-Con. For some reason, Thomas Jane had a panel at San Diego Comic-Con.
What do you mean, for some reason?
He's just a guy.
I don't know. Hung fans? Is that a thing?
He's done a bunch of stuff, all right? He's written comics. He's been in The Punisher. Right.
We'll skip past that. Thomas Jane had a panel. In the panel, he said, hey, guys, I made a film, a short film that I wanted to show you guys right now. So
hey, guys, could I show this film to the 70 of you who came to my panel?
Yeah, there's probably a lot of people there.
Yeah, like 17.
Yeah, it's probably Mrs. Jane, his children.
Fuck you, grandmother.
Uncle Jane, Painkiller Jane was there.
All the Janes.
All the Janes.
My mom, Jane Breskin-Zalbit, was there. It's great.
You just did a mom joke on yourself.
Yeah, totally got myself.
Your mom is so well-named.
So we showed off this fan film. Turns out it was a Punisher fan film that Thomas Jane made, starring himself as the Punisher. Pete, what'd you think about this stupid film?
First of all, fuck you.
Yeah.
The man has a passion for something, and I think that's very admirable.
I'm really glad he went out and made a shitty fan film.
It wasn't shitty, you asshole.
Justin, you want to get a beer while we talk?
Too many things to say. So mean.
Why was it shitty?
I'll tell you.
It's like, here's the thing. It's like if you went out with the hottest girl in school.
Right.
And then you made a doll of her and were like, see, it's still working. We're still dating.
That is nothing like what happened.
Yes, if you're in a Hollywood, a major film, and then you go home and you're like, I'll make one. Then that's
what's wrong
like
with that?
No.
Yeah,
do
I will
what you
say,
want, Thomas
okay,
Jane.
It was good except for the acting, the script, the concept. And
Pete,
the execution.
Well, what did you
fuck
like?
You.
What did you like about it, Pete?
I thought the quarter drop was amazing.
Yeah.
You can't say anything bad about that.
No, it was like the beginning of the 50 Cent album, Get Rich or Die Trying.
You liked it, right?
I did like it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yes,
I thought,
it was a lot of fun.
I think, quite honestly, it's the best Punisher film that's been made.
Imagine if they gave Lundgren's fan film.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
You find me, you come get me.
Yeah, oh, wow, that's really good.
Sewer scene at the end of the
original. No, yeah, I was with you.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought it was really great. I thought it was gory, perfectly gory, and it was fun kind of thing at the end there. I don't want to spoil for all the people who are going to watch it.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be tough. Don't spoil it for everybody.
Right.
But I was super excited about it, and I was also super excited that Thomas Jane went out of his way to make it.
Yeah.
All right.
He's got a great. He's got a lot of free time.
All right, I'm sorry.
That was a really heartfelt apology.
No, I apologize.
It was. It wasn't a fan film about the Punisher. It was a fan film about the Hungisher.
Yeah,
it was his character from Hung.
To be honest, I feel like it may have been a documentary. He's losing it, right?
Right.
He's just gone completely crazy. You're gonna make one of those eventually. Right?
I hope so. I can't wait.
All right, that's it for the week of geek.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LaPage.
All right.
Yeah.
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand. Yes, you, casual guy in the back. Come on up.
Casual guy.
Give it up for Casual Guy.
Casual Guy here with his friend Formal Guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hello. Welcome.
Two
get
sides
up,
of
get
the
up
same
on
coin.
The stage. All right. What is your name, sir?
John.
John. Audience. John.
Hi, John. Woo.
All right. So this is your gift card that you may or may not win. We'll see how this goes. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you three questions. If you go 3 for 3. You win $25 free. All right, so today's trivia is on Batman, because I am really excited about the movie. Here we go. Question number one. What was the first appearance of Batman? Is it A, Detective Comics number 27, B, Detective Comics number 34, or C, Comics for Dummies number 1? So it's either A, which is the correct answer, Detective Comics number 27, or it's B, Detective Comics 34.
I'll go with A.
A is correct. Yeah, one person's really excited. All right. Who was first introduced in Batman number 16 in 1943? Is it A, Catwoman, B, Alfred, or is it C, Churchill, Winston Churchill's sidekick? So it's either A, don't pick A, or it's B, Alfred. correct.
Oh, nice.
I appreciate your passion for Churchy, though. Here we go. Last question. In 1986, for Batman issue number 400, who wrote the introduction? Is it A, Adam West, B, Stephen King, or is it C, Jabberjaw? So it's either Adam West or it's B, Stephen King.
I'm going to go with B.
B is correct.
Nice.
$25, John. Congratulations. Thank you for playing. Thank you for coming to our live show.
Kill him. Kill him.
Kill him. Kill.
Take his reward.
All right,
Stephen
guys.
Stephen King, huh? That's
Stephen
strange.
King.
Stephen King. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Ooh, there's a lot of great stuff. I mean, for a minute, I was really going to pick Hellblazer, but then I was like, no, I'm going with Saga.
Saga. Right. Nice.
Saga great number five comes out tomorrow.
Yep.
Great series
Brian
if you're not picking it up.
Amazing
yep.
stuff.
Fiona Staples, gorgeous art.
I'm looking forward to Adventure Time number six.
Yeah.
What?
What? Very
Get
good
Get off Salvin's dick.
What?
He's always talking about how amazing it is.
Have you ever watched the show or read the comic?
Yes.
No. When you're on Salvin's dick, it's always Adventure Time.
Oh!
Thank you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Get that tattooed.
You
on
just high fived him for
get
that.
Get that tattooed.
Yeah,
on
you
your
guys
dick.
Just Eiffel Towered me, is what you did.
That's right.
That's not what that was.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure it was.
It was a pearl sandwich, as we established earlier. Yeah. Great comic. Really fun, really funny.
Really?
Right in the
spirit of the
show.
Out of all the stuff coming out tomorrow, that's what you're most looking forward
it's
to.
It's really
yes,
good.
It's very good, yeah. Pete.
All right.
Why don't you get on Dalvin's dick?
Yeah, I won't. I won't ever do it.
Get on my dick.
It's really fun, Pete. It's really fun.
Adventure Time. Thank you, Boothman.
Boothman is on now.
I think everyone in the room
dick.
But Pete isn't on your dick right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's
it's getting pretty crowded out there.
You're having a crazy party on your dick, bro.
This, yeah, I got to the point where it made me uncomfortable. All right, that's my pick. Concrete, Three Uneasy Pieces is coming out tomorrow
what?
From Dark Horse. This is a collection of three concrete short stories that Paul Chadwick did in Dark Horse Presents. They were all great. I love Concrete. If you've never read it,
oh, it's amazing.
Probably
yeah, absolutely
one
amazing.
Of the best comics of all time.
Yep. Very good.
You can pick up this collection. You don't need to know anything about it. It's basically Guy in a gigantic rock body that instead of being a superhero kind of just thinks a lot.
Yeah, and it's sad a lot.
Yeah, and it's sad a lot, but it's really good, really smart writing, beautiful, gorgeous art. Definitely pick it up. Matt, what are you looking forward to?
I am also looking forward to Saga number 5 as well.
Yes.
Also the Eisner Award-winning Daredevil.
Yeah.
God, what a good book. And always, always, always looking forward to every single time X-Factor comes out. I
yep.
love
really?
Peter David. Oh, God, yeah.
I
love Peter
X-Factor
David.
As well.
And, yeah. One of my favorite books. So excited that Leonard Kirk is rotating art on that. I think he's doing great work.
Yeah.
Really excited.
It's nice to give X-Factor
cool.
a little
and
shout
Matt,
out.
Plug some of your stuff. What should people check out?
I do a monthly sketch podcast called Left-Handed Radio, lefthandedradio.com. Co-host Matt and Brett Love Comics, mattandbrettlovecomics.com. This Thursday, I will be in a show at UCB East called The Dark Knight Dies.
What?
It's a character show where we're all doing a eulogy for Batman. Sort of whatever happened to the Caped Crusader. I'll be playing Bane, but as an idiot, you'll see.
That's going to be
tough. Very quickly, do you think he's going to die in Dark Knight Rises?
Oh, yes. Yes
Bane or Batman?
Batman.
Batman. Oh, I...
Let's quickly go through and think what,
I have
talk about what we're going to say.
Theory.
Yeah.
I don't think that he would, but if he did, I think it would be a Dark Knight Returns ending. Where like he dies, but then is like has eliminated the Bruce Wayne persona and is by himself quietly.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Salvin,
what do you guys think?
Do you have, I have one for sure.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, you're
yeah.
So
I don't.
Excited.
I'm very excited for this.
I mean, I have a million different theories. I think that makes a lot of sense to me. I feel like if they are going to kill him, they're going to kill him in this movie, and that would be something you've never seen on screen before. So
yeah.
I imagine that could happen.
So what I think is going to happen is...
Everyone gather close.
I think... you gather... Don't tell anybody.
All right.
But what I think is going to happen is, like, sort of end act one, Bane's going to break Batman.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
The classic moment.
Oh, yeah.
Batman
yeah.
fucked up. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character...
He's going to say, yo, Batman, you fucked
you
up.
You fucked up. Snap. Then Joseph Gordon-Levitt's going to take over the Batman mantle. I think Bane is then going to kill him. And then Bruce Wayne has to come back, repair himself... rise, if you will, and beat Bane in the end.
Ooh.
And I don't think Batman will die. I don't think they would kill Bruce Wayne.
Wow.
No?
That's pretty much exactly what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah?
No, seriously, I thought that it was going to open with...
Get off Justin's dick,
get
Pete!
Off my dick.
Yeah, get off
Pete, you're on so many dicks
face.
Right now.
Get off his dick, get off my dick.
No, I got a wicked party starting on my dick.
Oh, man.
Get off
no,
my party.
I really thought it was going to open with him getting his back broken, and then it's his rise back to glory.
Yeah.
His dick is going to rise.
Oh,
Delvin,
stop.
What, too far?
No, because... I'm off your dick. Because you're too gross about being on your dick.
I'm sorry.
It used to be fun and simple. Now it's too complicated.
And then I did want to say there is one scene where Batman thinks about being a football player, and that's why we see that in the trailer.
Yeah.
Which was
yeah.
shot in my I'm from outside Pittsburgh. So excited.
That's the name of your town?
Pittsburgh, yeah.
Outside?
The mayor of Pittsburgh, Luke Ravenstahl, has a cameo in the movie as the kicker.
I thought you were going to say he's the little kid that sings.
No,
I thought you were going to say he's a crime fighter because his name is Luke Ravenstahl.
No, he's the kicker for the team playing the Gotham Knights in the movie.
There's no way that Luke Ravenstahl
could be the Raven hero of Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
He's there, no, nothing about no Pittsburgh.
The DC equivalent to Pittsburgh.
All right, guys, a couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, we're going to have writer Joe Harris is going to be here,
awesome.
As well as comedian Liam McEnany. And then also, coming up on August 9th, we're going to be in Boston at Improv Boston doing a live podcast there. So if any of you have friends in Boston or if you're listening at home in Boston, please do come out to that show. Tickets are on sale. Things you want to plug, Pete.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Yep. Check us out at comicbookclublive.com. Also on Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Matt for being on the show.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Oh, thank you so much.
Boothman! Most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 at Fontana's for free. Please tell your friends good night.
Good night, guys. Woo!